sick today in this place. Do miracles in this room. Do what only you can do, Lord. We didn't come here to check a box. We didn't come here just to do our duty, our due diligence. But we came here to meet with you today, to be in your presence, God. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. If you're battling depression, just reach out to the Lord right now. Receive joy in your life. Lord, you give peace to those who have anxiety. You grant strength to those who are weak so that we can mount up with wings like eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. Lord, we thank you that there's power in your presence right now. Right now. Right now. In this place. And we just want to say, we love you, Lord. We bless your name. We praise you. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him one more time. Give him your best praise. He's worthy. He's worthy of it all. I'm going to read the scripture while we're standing. What we're going to look at today, we're working our way through the book of James. And today, God's got a word for us, I believe, in James chapter 2, where we left off last week. We're talking about what the world needs now. It needs faith in real life. We don't need religion, rituals, don't need more laws. We need to have the faith that James talks about. And here's what he says this time. He says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister," and he's going to give an illustration here, "is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Oh, go in peace, keep warm and well fed. God bless you. God bless you.' But does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'Well, you have faith and I have deeds.' Well, you show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Well, that's good, because even the demons believe that, and they're scared to death. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless?" Let me give another illustration, he says, from the Bible. "Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." How many like to be called God's friend? "You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead. You need your spirit today, don't you? Or your body's just gonna fall over. So faith without deeds is dead. In other words, it's kind of like when somebody says, hey, do you want whipped cream and a cherry on that? Yes. Right? So get ready to turn to your neighbor there and announce the title for today. The title is this: it's both and. It's both and. Turn to a few people, tell them it's both and. It's both hands. Thank you, worship team. I don't know if you noticed something in this passage of scripture, but something really leaped out to me in preparing for this section of scripture. And that's two names of people. Abraham, the friend of God, and Rahab, the prostitute. Two different tags in the same talk. How do you do that? What is that? I think it's grace. I think it's God's mercy. It's the grace of a God that does amazing grace, right? Yes. Now, if you don't know who I'm talking about today, Rahab is found in Joshua chapter 2. And of course, Abraham's like the father of the Jewish faith and really is the father of faith, he's called. And so he's just got a great title, as God used him in the book of Genesis, and you can read his story there. But Rahab's maybe not quite as famous for the church world, and so even if you grew up in church, there's a chance that maybe you don't know her story. So let me just briefly describe for you in Joshua chapter 2, the people were getting ready to go into the promised land. And Joshua said, we're not going to send 12 spies this time. That didn't work well the last time. How many remember that? Because too many cooks in the kitchen can be a problem. So we're going to send two this time. And you two dudes, you two guys, you go over there, check it out, see what the city's like, and then you report back. And the scripture says they went over to Jericho, got inside, but what they didn't know is they were spotted, and the word started getting around that these two guys were somewhere in the city, and so they come upon Rahab's house, and they're invited in, and Rahab, who invited quite a few men into her home, is no stranger to this kind of situation. However, these guys are not your typical clientele. These guys are on a mission from God. And so they explain to Rahab what they're there to do. And Rahab says something astounding to these guys in Joshua chapter 2. She says, your God is the real God. Matter of fact, we're scared to death in this city right now because we've heard of your God. We've heard of what he did in Egypt. We stand in awe of his fame. We talked about this Wednesday night, if you're here for night of prayer, by the way, talking about sharing to the next generation what he did in the last generation and just how important that is. And this Wednesday night, we're going to be talking about freedom and deliverance. And so if you need freedom or deliverance from a hurt, habit, or hang up, or you want to pray with people who do need that freedom, then you be here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. It's going to be a powerful, powerful night. So be here for that. But she said, we've heard. And now we're like petrified that you're going to take us down because of your God. And so they said, well, she said to them, hey, can you save me? Can you protect me and my family? They said, we tell you what. If you'll stay in this house and you put a red cord out the window, because she lived on the wall of Jericho. They said, if you put a red cord out, we will know that this is your house. It'll mark it, and we'll tell everybody in the camp to stay away from this house. And whoever's inside this house, who's ever inside, when we see the red cord, we will pass by your house. We won't bring judgment on this house, but we're not responsible for anybody outside the house. And the scripture says she hung the red cord out the window, and the spies knew, and they said, there it is. That's Rahab's. Everybody, hands off. Stay away from her. And the scripture says they invaded the city, totally annihilated the city, but Rahab and whoever of her family were in that house were rescued. And Rahab, who was outside the family of God, came inside the family of God, because that red cord symbolized, much like the blood of Jesus, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'll pass over you. And Rahab is brought into the family of God. So here we've got Rahab and Abraham. What a mix. Why is she called the prostitute, though? This is toward the end of the Bible. You know? By now, why don't we scrub that label and just say Rahab? But if you know something about Rahab, here's what you know, that she is one of few people that Matthew would also name. Matter of fact, she's named two other times in the New Testament. There aren't too many people who get to be mentioned in the New Testament that were mentioned in the Old Testament. But she's one of those, and she's mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus himself. Pretty prestigious. And then she's mentioned, out of all the chapters of the Bible, Hebrews 11, which is the Hall of Faith chapter, it's called. And I think the point that James is making, because God says, hey, we got to mention Rahab one more time. Before the Bible's done, before I put a closing to it, before the inspired word of God gets bound up and distributed to my people for generations yet to come, we got to mention this lady one more time, because it demonstrates no matter who you are, God can use your life. And you can get equal standing with Abraham. In other words, it's both and. It's not one or the other. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul talks about it like this: for it is by grace you have been saved. Okay, you didn't do anything to earn heaven. Is that clear? Everybody got that? You cannot earn it. It's not, oh, he was a good guy or whatever. No, no. In your heart, you are desperately wicked, the Bible says. Did you teach your children to sin? You know, when they were born, did you say, now, every once in a while, get selfish, you know? Every once in a while, say it's mine. Or every once in a while, tell me no. No, you didn't have to do that. That was in there, wasn't it? It just came out. And so Paul says, no, you've been saved by grace, but it was through faith, and even that wasn't from you. It was a gift of God. It was not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork. But we got to keep reading, because it's easy to think, well, I don't know, which is it, James or Paul? Because James was talking about our works and how important that is. And if, like Paul says, it isn't about works completely. But keep reading. For we're God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So to be clear, we are not saved by works. You can't do enough to eradicate the horrendous sin in your life. You can't do enough. But because God did enough to take care of your horrendous sin, come on, somebody, you want to work for him. You want to do something. You want to serve him. See how it is? It's both and. Titus chapter 3, verse 8 says it this way. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things. So I'm going to stress it today, all right? So that those who have trusted in God may be careful to, what do you need to be doing? Devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable. In other words, everybody wins when you do this. And I want to say it this way. America wins when you do this. Okay, when you're this kind of Christian, not just the t-shirt Christian, okay, or the WWJD bracelet Christian, or the bumper sticker Christian, or the cross-wearing Christian. But when you actually do the deal, when you're both and, when you're this kind of Christian, everybody wins, he says. Everybody gets in on it. And it's like Rahab and Abraham together. In other words, a living faith is one that talks and walks. It talks and walks. It's spiritual and serving. It's both and. And James is dealing with people who tend to pick sides. He's talking to people not like people today. He's talking to people that tend to pick sides, okay? They're going to pick sides of one or the other. And picking sides, and Paul deals with this some too in his writings, if you've read his writings, about division. It brings divisiveness, right? When somebody chooses. And so I want to say it this way. The world loses when the church chooses. Okay, when we make choices, we choose sides, then the world loses. And that's the reason why the enemy tries to get us to do either or. And listen, he did it with Jesus. The Bible says they tried to test Jesus. They were trying to get him to pick sides. So they went to him one time and they said, hey, do you believe in paying taxes to Caesar? In other words, are you on Caesar's side or are you an anti-Caesar? Which one are you? They wanted him to pick sides. And Jesus is so smart, so with it. The Bible says, how about he would know what they were thinking. He knew what they were up to. And so knowing what they're up to, he gets a coin out. He says, well, whose inscription is there on this? They say, well, Caesar. He says, I'll tell you what, why don't you give to Caesar what's Caesar's and then give to God what's God's? In other words, what image do you have imprinted upon you? That's what you should give to God. It's yourself. You're everything. You should give everything to him. So Jesus says it's both and. It's prayer and practical. It's serve and spiritual. It's worship and works. It's belief and behavior. Jesus says you don't pick sides. It's both and. But oh, we're so good at picking sides, aren't we? IU or Purdue? How about, remember this one? Vaxxed or unvaxxed? Is it long enough after that to say that? Or Democrat or Republican? Mm-hmm. Or how about this one? I brought this up here. Coke or Pepsi? See how divisive it is already? People taking sides in here. So here's what we did this week. This week, my daughter thought it would be so fun if we did a taste test, blind taste test. So we not only did these two, we did three other ones. And so it was just going to be so good because we were going to nail it. I mean, you know, nail every one of them. We were wrong two out of every three times. Two out of every three times. And I haven't drank a Coke or a Pepsi in over 10 years. So I just knew I'd be able to know instantly. I remember this. It's been 10 years. Come on now. I know this stuff. Nope. Couldn't do it. Who'd like to do this week? Is anybody, you guys, somebody down here? Somebody come and get it if you want to. I'll give it to you. Huh? Nobody? They think it's a gimmick. All right. Try it. Let me know the results. I want to say this again. A divided world needs a united church. You say, well, Craig, you said that last week. I may say it every week. Until we have an election, all right? So maybe January, I don't know, before I quit saying it. But how many know when you've been saved from the uttermost, the Bible talks about the uttermost. I like what one preacher said. He saved me from the guttermost. How many, he saved you from the guttermost? I mean, when he reached down, he had to reach way down. When he reached down, he not only redeemed you of yesterday, but all the yesterdays of your life, everything you've ever done, and made it new, a new creation, saved from everything. And here's what James is getting at. He says, saved people serve. That's just what they do. And I'll just put a plug in here for serving, that once you start serving, you really start growing too. You start growing in your faith. And I think that's what James is saying. He's saying, you know, you say, well, I got faith, and you're just sitting there. He says, I'll show you my faith by not sitting here, by getting going and doing something. See, that's when the power comes. I don't need power in the pew. Okay, when I'm down here and the worship team's singing and all, I don't need a special anointing or a special touch necessarily or whatever to sit there in that chair or stand there and raise my hands and worship the Lord. But when I get up here, I need everything God can give me on the stage to be able to communicate God's word in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, and that's what you and I need. It's when you step out. And so it's praying and preaching. It's worshiping and working. It's believing and behaving. That's the reason why we talk about growth track around here so much. Because in growth track, and this is week two, and this is the week that you discover, we help you to discover your giftings, your special enablements that God put inside of you, that Paul says in Ephesians, we just read it, how he already had it figured out what he wanted you to do. Even before you were born, he said, I'm going to use this one like this. I'm going to use this one like this. And I'm going to orchestrate it all together, and they're going to be a beautiful church. They're going to be an awesome influence for me. Because I'm going to use this one this way, and I'm going to use this one that way. And you need to discover what that is. And the good news for you by being here in the first service is you can stay after this service and go to Growth Track during the second service. And I implore you, encourage you to do that, because it's exactly what James is talking about. Look at what Martin Luther said. I love this quote. It is impossible to separate or take sides on faith or works. It is as trying to separate a burning flame from its brightness. You can't do it. So you just got to do both. And I see people that are all about worship, or they're all about studying the Bible and getting deep. Does anybody know anybody like that? They're just always wanting to get deep. Just give me the deep stuff. I want the deep things. And here's the problem I have with some people. They're deep, but they're not moving. They're just stationary. They're just sitting still. And at least while you're so deep, why don't you reach down to somebody so low and pick them back up again in the power of the Spirit and with the knowledge that you have? Use that knowledge. Be a learner and a lifter. It's not one or the other. Be a student and a savior to somebody else. You know, it's like Jesus talked about giving out the bread of life. He's the bread of life. But some people say, well, I like the bread like this. I like it toasted, you know? And other people, oh, I don't like it toasted. I like it fresh, you know? I like it soft. No, it's got to have a hard crunch on the outside. No. Everybody's different. You know, but the main thing is serve the bread. Serve the bread. That's what I want to say to some restaurants. How about you? Just serve the bread, would you? Hey, by the way, we're going to serve the bread next Sunday, communion. All right, so be here next Sunday. We'll serve communion next Sunday, so don't miss it. But here's where I think James is talking about, and let me just make this as practical as I can. It's 21 days of prayer and serve day. We had over 200 people on serve day that went out into the community and served. Yeah, it was phenomenal. Made such a difference in our community. I'm waiting for the day there'll be 200 plus on Wednesday night ready to seek the face of God and get on their face for this nation, for our schools, for our young people. Come on. Let's be people of prayer. See, James says it's not one or the other. You pray fervently and serve relentlessly. That's what you do. You work, I like to say it this way, work like it all depends upon you, but pray like it all depends upon God. See, I need to study before I get up here. I need to study to show myself approved. I need to study so the Holy Spirit has something to work with. Come on, somebody. When I get up here, doesn't just have to pull from an empty can. But at the same time, I'm not depending upon my study. Paul says, I don't come to you with excellence of speech. I don't come to you with excellency of words. I'm not trying to wow you with my speech today. What I'm wanting to wow you with is the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And James says, it's both and. It's both and. So our nation needs a living faith. We need a living faith. And a living faith comes by this. There's three things I want to give you today. You can write these down because I think that they're so huge and so important to where we need to be as a church in our culture. A living faith operates with words. We need to have words. In other words, we don't need secret saints, you know, where I think they'll just know because I'm nice at work, that I have a sweet presence and all. They'll just pick up on that I'm a Christ follower. No, they might think you were a Boy Scout or just had good parents. That they might just think, you know, well, they're a nice person. I'm not saying you shouldn't be nice, but I'm just saying that's not enough. Jesus didn't tell us to go be nice. He said to go tell them. Tell them, compel them to come. Tell the world, be a witness. And a witness tells what they've seen and what they've heard, what they've experienced in their own life. So you tell your story. So at work, if somebody says, oh, you're such a nice person, you just say, no, I'm not. I'm really not without Jesus. Because I'm just telling you, you wouldn't like the Craig without Jesus. You wouldn't like him. You wouldn't like that person. So that's what, you know, you just give glory where the glory is due, right? Because otherwise, you take the Lord's glory. He doesn't want to share his glory. So don't steal the Lord's glory. When somebody compliments you, say, all glory to God. That's the reason why I love it. When the athletes, you know, they get a chance in front of a microphone to say, hey, why were you the fastest person on the track today? Why were you so phenomenal out there? And they say, well, but first, I want to praise my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because of him in my life. I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for him. Amen. You could do that at work. You could do that at school. School's back in session. You could say, you know what? This is going to be the year I become a show and tell Christian. Not just a show Christian, not just I'm going to wear my t-shirt, I'm going to wear my cross. No. Now, I'm going to speak for Jesus. I'm going to speak his name when I have a chance. When somebody's going through something, when one of my buddies, when one of my friends at school is talking about the roughness of life, how tough it is and whatever, I'm gonna say, would you like me to pray for you? Yeah, I'll pray for you right here in the cafeteria right now. We can show with our words. Here's the second thing. A living faith comes with works. And the reason, again, is we do because he already did. See, he doesn't have to did another thing for me. He doesn't have to do anything more than what he's already done. I think 2,000 years ago, coming to this planet, becoming like a worm, a human on this planet, laying aside the grandeur of who he was and becoming like a servant to us and taking our sins upon him and dying that horrendous death on the cross that I can't even imagine what he went through. And he did that for me. He doesn't have to do anything else. So, dream teamers, you serve because he served you, right? You get out there in the parking lot and wave at people, right? How many appreciate the people out there waving at you? Yeah. Come on, show them some love. Opening the door for you, serving coffee for you, doing all the things they do for you, and take... Oh, there ought to be a shout in the house here. Taking care of your kids and teaching them about Jesus while you're in here. So it's works as well. And then the third thing is a living faith worships. It worships. I want the worship team to come back at this time. The Bible says, we live as a living sacrifice. Jesus said, whatever has the imprint of God upon them, that belongs to God. So my hands, my voice, my feet, every part of me. And so today, I wonder if maybe the reason why your faith feels dead is because you haven't become a living sacrifice. Let me say it this way. If your faith feels dead, it's not God's fault. As you begin to step out and put his word into practice. And here's what else. If you'll just reach out, people can have an encounter with God like you have. If you just reach out this week, people can have a transforming. I've seen it happen in living rooms. I've seen it happen in storefronts. I've seen it happen on the streets. I've seen it happen inside this building, outside this building. When Jesus comes into a person's life, they are transformed. Because that's what he does. It was funny because I was thinking about this message, and I'm not going to read that text right now, so you can get ready to skip that, guys. I sent that one out this morning, so if you follow me on Twitter or Facebook, you can read that one as a bonus, okay? As a bonus. But here's what I was doing this week. I was typing up my notes. And I was typing up all this message and what I was feeling like the Lord wanted me to say. And I went back and looked at my notes. And instead of typing Rahab, it showed a different word. And I thought, well, I must have got confused. You know how you hit the wrong letter? Don't leave me up here by myself. Make me feel all weird or whatever, okay? So, you know, you can hit the wrong key. And so I must have hit the wrong key because this is what was in my notes. Rehab. Rehab. And I thought, oh, I must have hit an E instead of an A. So I went back and said, Rahab, space, rehab. Just like that. But it was like the Holy Spirit said, that's what I do. That's what I do. I change people in a moment, in an instant, by my power. It's not them. It's not a mistake. It's what I do. And today, there may be a Rahab in the house. There may be somebody that you think you're so far gone, you're so far down, you're so far away that there's no way that God could reach you. There's no way that God could change you. I want you to know today that God is able to, in a moment, in a second, in a split second, change you completely from the inside out. Come on, raise your hands today if you believe that. Give him a praise today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's nobody like you, Lord. There's nobody like you, Lord. Come on, sing the song with me again, and let's worship him one more time. Just give him all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, because he's worthy of it. Sing it.
You are worthy of it all.
Oh, sing it up. Sing it up to him. You're worthy of all the glory.
For from you are all things, and to you are all things, and you deserve the glory.
Oh, love him today. Love him one more time.
You are worthy of it all.
You're so worthy.
You are worthy of it all.
You change people. Father, some of us today, we need to be show and tell Christians. At work, at school, wherever, because somebody needs to hear it. They need to know it. God, somebody here today needs to take that card that they received to invite somebody to church, and we need to actually do it. Maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I need to get going. I believe God has an assignment. God has something for me to do. God has a purpose for my life. If he had purpose and promise for Rahab, he has purpose and promise for my life. He wants to use me. Maybe you need to go to Growth Track. I don't know what it looks like, but if you're ready to step out and say, God, you can have my hands, you can have my feet, you can have my mouth. This week, use me for your glory. If that's your prayer, would you just raise your hands all over this room right now? Yeah, just raise them up, church. Father in heaven, take everything. May we be a living sacrifice to you, holy and acceptable to you today. God, for some of us, we need to get busy. We need to realize time is short, that now we must be about the Father's business. Now we've got to tell our friends, tell our neighbors, tell those around us. And so God, help us this week to take that card, to take whatever method, measure we can, and influence somebody else for you and watch you do what only you can do in a person's life. God, we praise you for that. While we're still praying, there may be someone who's like Rahab, that you're outside the family of God. You're outside of connection with God. But today, you can get connected. Today, God can in a moment, just like spell check, God can in a moment change your future. He can change your life. He can change your past. He can change everything. Jesus changes everything. And if you want to receive Jesus today, I want to give you the opportunity to do that right here, right now. Just raise your hand and say, oh yes, I need Jesus today. I need him in my life. Just raise it up all over this room. And while you're doing that online, just type the word decided in the chat, the word decided. And we're going to be praying for you as well. But come on, church, let's all pray this so that those around us who lifted a hand will pray it out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to be the Savior of the world. I believe through his death on the cross, he paid for all of my sin so that I can be forgiven. And not because I'm so good, but because you're so good, I believe you're gonna forgive me today, make me new, and change my life forever. As much as I know how, I surrender all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's celebrate those who made the greatest decision of their lives.